Yeah, we've all been in situations a little bit like that one. Hey, if you want to follow along with the message, columbiagrove.org message notes, or get to columbiagrove.org, swipe left, and you'll be there right away. But let me just ask you, just if you can shout out some of these things. What was one of your first jobs? Mine was paper route, and then I worked for an electronics store.
Babysitting.
What else? Dishwashing?
Taco Bell,
yeah. Sherry's, okay.
Strawberries?
Picking strawberries. Oh, that's great. That sounds good. What was that?
Construction grunt.
Yeah. Well, some of us, you know, in our first, like, job experiences maybe didn't... Who would say that your first job experience was not that great? Yeah, so we're not naming any names here. So my paper route was pretty good, but then I started working at this electronics store, and I came up with this... I had this important revelation about 4 months into the job as I was realizing, this is weird. What's going on here? I learned that cocaine makes bosses do weird things. I don't have a Bible verse for that, but it's pretty much true all the time. Yeah, so if your boss is snorting coke, it's not going to go well. It's going to be a strange teamwork environment. It's going to be, yeah, you're not going to quite know what to expect. But that was my first experience in that kind of environment. And now, whether you've been on a sports team or in a work environment, you've probably looked at the issues of teamwork, like of how important it is to work together. Whether that's like on a sports team, your job is to, of course, win the game within the rules of the game, or in a business environment, what you're trying to do is you're trying to make money in ethical ways that hopefully that create gainful employment and that produce some profit. We know what the goals are. We know we need to work together, but we don't always think about what that means for the local church. And so today, I wanted us to take a look at that, opening up what we might call our ministry playbook. So this is just sort of a one-off sermon. It's not really part of a series. You know, we just finished that Tough Topic series. Next week, I'm so excited, we're starting a four-week series in the stories of David. Ooh, I'm looking forward to that. So David and Goliath next Sunday. Yeah. Okay, that's good. But I wanted to take one kind of week in between and just open up our ministry playbook. And so in some ways, like if you're here for the first time, you might get to the end of this message and you'll go, that was not much of a sermon. It's not. It's not going to be that much of a sermon. We're definitely going to engage the scriptures, but it's going to be actually just some nuts and bolts. I mean, we're going to do some org charts. We're going to do some stuff like that, you know, and just because we are in a season, as has already been alluded to, and you might have, if you've been with the congregation for a while, we're in a series of some change. In the last year of a staff of five, we've had three staff positions turn over, which is quite a bit, all for good reasons, whether it's retirement, moving into full-time counseling, or going off to pastor one of our missions congregations. Just great reasons with great people. But that does mean that we've been in a season of some change. And so I wanted to just take a week to kind of let you know, here's where we are, here's how we're thinking about things. And even the language of playbook can sometimes be helpful. Because you, like, who here remembers the last time the Seahawks won the Super Bowl? Wasn't that fun? Yes. It's been a while. Let's do it again. That would be great. But you know that even after a winning season, as you start up that next season, even for a great team, you need to come back and you kind of need to review your playbook. And the overall objectives stay the same, but there's going to be some differences in the nuances of how you're trying to accomplish it, because you need to take into account the skill sets and the abilities of the team and things that, you know, your team are good at or maybe not so good at. You know, if you're on a football team and you've got a quarterback with a really great throwing arm and a whole lot of people that can catch really well, you're going to do lots and lots of throwing plays. Where maybe if your team's greatest asset is their ability to block, you've got, you know, just big tough guys on the front line, you're going to do lots of running plays. So you're going to assess the abilities of the team and then modify your playbook to try to take advantage of the gifts and skills of the team. And so that's what we've been doing over these last few months as the staff team of the church has been rebuilding and they've been working with the leadership team and working with one another and getting to know one another and hear what God has laid on each of our hearts. And so we just wanted to take you through a little bit of that. So our ministry playbook. Now, as a church, I mean, all churches really have the same fundamental mission. Jesus made it really clear in passages that we often call the Great Commission, passages like in the book of Matthew, verse 28:19. Therefore, go and what? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The church's job, the church's mission is to make disciples, is to help people come to know Christ and equip and inspire people to follow Christ. And there is nothing more important than that. And now, if you've been in church, you know, a Christian for a while, you go, yeah, yep. Let's just pause there for a second. Can I see your eyes? There is nothing more important than people coming to get to know and follow Jesus. Let's just, we got to pause there before we just affirm it and move on. Like, there is no sacrifice too great. There is no cost too high. There is nothing more important than people getting to know and to follow Jesus. It makes all of the difference for the world and our life now. I mean, it's the difference between a life of purpose and a life that's just drifting. And it makes every bit of difference for eternity. It is literally the difference between spiritual life and death. The stakes could not be higher. So it's incredibly important that we talk about how do we make disciples? It is the mission of God that God calls each one of us to, both individually and corporately. It is the guiding purpose on some level of each one of our lives individually, and it is certainly the guiding mission of the church as a whole, church capital C, all who follow Jesus everywhere, and the mission of the local church to do our own small part of that great big mission, to make disciples. That's the mission of God, and we're called to do that within the heart of God. And so we got to turn our attention also to the great commandment. I mean, it's put this way, again in Matthew, in this case verse 23. Love, what's the word? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second is like it. What's the word? Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus put it this way in John chapter 13. A new commandment I give you. What's the word? Love. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you, what's the word? Love one another. As we grow in Christ, the mark of a healthy church is love. That we pursue the mission of God within the heart of God. That as we grow in Christ, our lives should be increasingly marked by love. Look at those Jesus followers. Look how well they love. How well they love one another, how well they love those on the margins, how well they love society, how well they love in such a way that they live differently. The mission of God within the heart of God, that is what God calls all of us to. That is the big mission of the capital C church, all who follow Jesus everywhere. And so as a local church, we have a mission statement that looks to incorporate those things. Here's how we put it. We help people become, what's the phrase? More like Jesus. That's discipleship. That's discipleship, right? To get to know Christ and to follow Christ. We help people become more like Jesus through worship, connection, and service. The worship, connection, and service, these are the three fundamental actions of the church. And we're going to talk about that more in a moment and how we're trying to live those things out. To connect people with God in worship, to connect people with one another in service, connect people to the mission in their life. We help people become more like Jesus through worship, connection, and service. And then as we look to reflect the heart of God, we have a motto. You've probably seen it. You drove past it. It's a ginormous hedge. You might have it on your wrist. This year, we're looking to find as many ways as possible to put our missional motto, you know, out in every environment, you know, from pens to keychains to T-shirts to, I don't know what our team is thinking up, but, you know, if there's some Love Like Jesus underwear running around somewhere, I don't know, but it probably would not be a bad idea, you know, when you really think about it. But our mission, our motto, love like Jesus. As we grow in faith, we are looking to grow in love. Not just love like the world loves, not just love like culture defines it, but love like Jesus defines it. To love like Jesus. So if you've ever been through like a membership class in the last 5 years, you've probably seen this little chart. I'm just going to quickly review it. So we like to say here at Columbia Grove that we do 3.5 things. We're called to do 3.5 things. We're called to do worship services of various sorts, of various types, connecting people to God. Connection groups of various sorts, of various types, connecting people to one another so they can grow in their faith and friendships. So that as you're getting connected to the church, like here's a goal for us, is that if you've been with the church for more than about 6 months, hopefully you've gotten into a connection group of some sort that you'll have developed some friendships so that you have at least 2 Christian friends you could call at 2 o'clock in the morning and not need to apologize for it. And as I look around the room, I know many of you have those kinds of friendships right now. Life changes when we get connected on that level. And we provide service opportunities to serve one another as we look to advance our shared mission and just to serve the world at large, to release one another, to serve the world that God loves, whether that's volunteering in the community or various missions trips or a wide variety of ways. And then the half thing that we do is the piece that undergirds all of it, the leadership development of how we build people up. See, our strategy as a church is to advance the kingdom of God by building up a local church. We build up a local church by building up teams. We build up teams by building up people. And so our core definition of leadership, of what does it mean to be a leader, what are we trying to accomplish in leadership is, and we just have a three-word definition for leadership. Leaders build, who can fill it in? People. See, you've been through our lead. We're trying to teach this on every level. So for those who are rising in the ranks as leaders, we're talking about what it means to be people who build people. Leaders build people. We challenge one another to consider, excuse me for that, who's in your 12? Who are the people that God has in your circles of influence that he's calling you to invest in on a regular basis? Leaders build people. We want to build people like Jesus built people, which just means that we invest in the people around us, starting with your immediate family, but also extending beyond your immediate family. What does this person need from me right now in order to thrive? The guiding leadership question. Leaders build people. So we do 3.5 things. Worship services, connection groups, various forms of serve teams and serve opportunities. And we build people. We build people to accomplish all of those three. And so we have a team. We have a staff team whose job is to build people, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Here's how our org chart looks today. Now, some of these things, they've been changing over the last few months as we've been in a hiring process, of things have moved around. Here's how this works. Okay, so at the very, very top of the org chart, so important, it's actually off the slide, is we're looking together to be guided by God. And God guides us as a congregation. And then within the congregation, there are people that take that step of membership. People that say, I am a follower of Jesus, and that at least for this season of my life, this is my church. And I am committed to helping this church follow Jesus. So we've got some basic training that goes along with that. It's nothing big, but we have members. And then as we make major decisions in the church, buying a church, changing policies of the church, pasteurizing somebody, you know, however you do that, you know, when we're making this big decisions in the church, the members make those decisions. The members make those decisions. And one of the most significant decisions those members make is they elect a leadership team. A team, right now it's of 7 people. But a leadership team that is making decisions on the kind of the month-to-month things, making certain we're staying on budget, making certain our general staff policies are sound and that we're learning as we grow and as we go. And probably, well, at least this is the part that's most significantly to me, that leadership team is collectively is my boss. So they oversee me. They keep me on the rails. And then they give me the responsibility of leading the staff of the church. Now, the reason why we do that, where, you know, here's this collective body that empowers one person to then, you know, work with the staff, is just so our staff as a whole, they don't have multiple bosses. Who has ever been in a work environment where you had like 3 or 4 people who were your bosses all giving you various orders? How fun was that? Wasn't that awesome? Yeah. How long did you stay at that job? Yeah, I thought so. Which is why we do it this way. So that each person on staff just has one person that they're, you know, immediately from a boss perspective accountable to. And so, you know, I'm charged with overseeing the preaching life of the church, helping to keep our church on mission and challenged to go out and do mission, and some of the leadership development aspects of the church. I have 2 direct reports, Paul Collard and Chris Garrow. So Paul works with our serve teams, especially the teams that are serving within the week-to-week ministries of the church. And Chris works with our worship team, worship ministries, and works with our various forms of connection groups. And Chris has 2 direct reports now, as of a couple weeks ago, hired Gayla. Woohoo! Okay, Gayla, who works, yeah, you can give a, yeah. Who works in children's ministry, doing that right now, and works with our seniors ministry, doing that every single week and leading the teams and developing the teams for both of those areas. And with Nick Edmonds. Nick is right now driving a car full of kids to camp, but working with our youth group, a youth group that is growing steadily each week. Just great things are happening in those environments. But that's our org chart. That's our org chart. So let's just take a quick look at, here's what we're trying to do in terms of worship. So worship for us is all about trying to create environments where people can connect with God. Because our goal for you is that you would be in a habit of gathering together to worship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and also that you would be developing individual habits of worship, that you would open up your Bible on a daily or a near daily basis, because it's those acts of seeking God through God's word, of connecting with him in prayer. That's where you find your power as a Christian. That's where you get healthy. That's where you get strong. It's like gas for the tank of your car. It's worship is what fuels everything we do. And within the church, we've got 3 kind of forms of worship environments. Let me just talk about that for a second. First is we've got children's church. They're meeting right now. And children's church is for us is geared for nursery through grade 6. And what we're trying to do with children's church, we're trying to make it really, really hard for young families to miss a week of church. Because we want children's church environments so compelling, so fun, the kids are begging their parents to come back next week. That's the target. So young families, you're welcome, but that's what we're trying to do. And so in children's church, they worship, they sing fun, kid-appropriate songs. Next week, actually, you're going to be hearing at least one of those songs. They hear a Bible lesson, and then they talk about it and how to apply it to their life through games and through crafts and through discussion groups. We're trying to train our kids in a kid-centered environment to worship, to connect, and then ultimately to serve. As we move into grade 7 and up, I'm assuming most people in the room are older than grade 7. Look to the left, look to the right. Look, they made it past grade 7. That's pretty good. Grade 7 and up, the goal for us with our teens is that they're getting incorporated into the life of the church. We want them to learn how to lead now, because in just a few precious years, they're going to be leading everything. We are looking to train up the next generation, and we know that one of the most significant factors for a teenager to go into their young adult years, those really precarious young adult years, with a thriving faith, is that they have at least five Christian adults that have been investing in them outside the immediate home. So those times when you're greeting our teens, those are more significant than you know. I hope you're praying for our youth leaders. They make such a significant impact in the lives of our teens. But that's what we're trying to do, trying to incorporate our teens into the life of the church as a whole. That's why you see kids running cameras right now, kids in the worship team, kids running sound, kids as greeters, kids as ushers. They're happy to take your money. They do a great job of it. But we want kids involved in every aspect of worship. They are fully, and teens, fully invested parts of the community. That's the goal for us. We also have a third environment. We have senior services. And these are services that are happening at assisted living facilities around the valley. Right now, every week, it's happening in two places. Bonaventure, just across the street, and River West, just over in Wenatchee. We've got other assisted living places that are waiting for, are longing for, the kinds of services we're providing on a weekly basis. If you want to volunteer, that would be great. This is one of the best places to grow. Senior services for us, by the way, this is also one of our primary leadership development areas. This is where we are training up the next generation of preachers and pastors. So if you want a chance to preach here, and I hope you do, because you probably do a great job, part of your training process will be to have you either teach in seniors ministry or in the student ministries that I've already talked about. Because in some level, it's by being faithful in those smaller environments that we prove ourselves trustworthy in the larger ones. And I got to tell you, our seniors are just amazing. So, you know, if you were to show up at Bonaventure this afternoon, you know, here's a group of, you know, 20 to sometimes as many as 35, seniors. They've been walking with the Lord for many years. They're just not physically able to get out to church services. And they're just longing to sing the old songs with you and to open up the Bible with you. And it's just, who's ever been to any of our senior services? A few hands are going to go up. You know what I'm talking about. There's just really great, great people. And it's just one way that we're looking to serve our community. But we have those three worship environments. As we look at our connection groups, the goal there is to build faith and friendships to help people connect with other Christians. Now, the largest ministry for that is what we call our connection groups. And those are groups that most of the time, they're meeting from 6 to about 8 weeks long. We launch those 3 times a year. But on some level, those groups are intended to be a little bit like a gateway drug. What we're trying to do is to get you like connecting with other Christians on a level where you go, oh, this is cool. I like this. I like this. And increasingly, we're, especially now that we've been doing it for a few years, and many of you know just how great it is to be connected with other Christians. Some of those groups are turning into what we're looking to call community groups, groups that meet year-round, groups that are completely self-governing, groups that just keep going and just keep building one another up. So we've got about 5 groups like that in the church. We generally don't advertise for them because many times they're already full of just friends that are connecting with one another and growing in their faith. And but those connection groups can become community groups as leaders develop, as friendships develop, and you say, yep, I want to invest not just in a bunch of people, I want to invest in these people. Now, one of the very specific community groups that we have is our student ministries, and that's geared for grades 7 through 12. It meets every Thursday night. We have two kind of groups within that, a middle school group and a high school group. They do a few things together. So they sing worship songs together. They hear a message together. Then they do a whole bunch of stuff separately. They do discussion groups separately. They do games separately. They do some special activities separately. Like there's our high school group went on a hike, you know, last Tuesday. That kind of stuff. Our high school group is, but they do some special stuff. They do some special stuff that are separate. But this is a community group that meets year-round. One of the community groups we're looking to form has to do with recovery ministry. We know there's an enormous demand in the congregation right now. We have many of us where recovery is part of our story. We haven't started those groups yet because we don't have a clear leader for that. And maybe even today, this is the chance for you to go, huh, God's calling me to be involved with that. And in which case, talk to Pastor Chris. Or if you're looking to host one of our connection groups, talk to Pastor Chris. He'd love to hear from you. If you're looking to volunteer with our student ministries, woohoo, talk to Nick. He'd love to hear from you. And then the other area of service for us is the serve ministries, looking to connect people with mission. And we do that in two different ways. One is through our ongoing serve teams led by Pastor Paul and the ministry team leaders under him. So everything from grounds to janitorial to kitchen to ushering to all sorts of different areas. And he'd love to hear from you, especially janitorial. Janitorial, it's one of our most fun teams, but if you could push a vacuum once a month, it takes about 3 hours to vacuum the whole facility, once a month, talk to Paul. He'd love to hear from you. Or if you like cleaning bathrooms. We all like having clean bathrooms. I wonder how that happens. It happens because faithful volunteers step forward and serve. So anyways, that's my little plug. You're welcome. There you go. For the serve teams, and ultimately our goal for us as a church is that about half of us would be involved in a serve team of some sort. Because we know that for many, your primary area of service is going to be out in the community. And so the second primary area of ministry is what we like to call outreach opportunities. And the word opportunities is very deliberate. We're not necessarily trying to form teams in every case, because many times the best ways for us to serve isn't so much for us to go out there and do our thing and start our thing and control our thing. It's to partner with other organizations that are already doing something great. So where is God calling you to volunteer? In the schools, in the libraries, and coaching soccer, or maybe serving with ministry partners like Small Miracles or Servonatchee Valley. Or maybe you want to join one of the opportunities that we do form from time to time, like one of our missions teams, you know, to go off to Alaska and work with some of our partner churches up there, or other places as leaders arise and opportunities arise. But to be thinking about how God has called you to step forward in service. So I need to ask you and ask us, what's your next step? What's your next step? What's God calling you to do? For somebody today who hasn't yet given their heart to Christ, maybe your next step could be your first step of just recognizing, Jesus, I need you in my life. I want to follow your purposes for my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, setting me free from sin, setting me free from the having to worry about what's going to happen to me after I die. From setting me free from a life of serving myself, setting me free to a life of serving you and serving your purposes in the world. Or maybe, honestly, your next step is just to start forming some friendships, to get involved with a connection group of some sort. Take that first step. Get to know some folks. Or if you've gotten to know some folks, of maybe God's calling you to start or form or lead more of a community group, something that's going to be this ongoing group of people that are doing life together. It's amazing what can happen when we've got some of those kind of friendships, in whatever form they take, however often they meet. Or maybe God's calling you to start to put feet to the mission. The rubber hits the road, that kind of stuff. And God's calling you to serve somewhere with your gifts and your talents and your passions and your abilities somewhere. What's your next step? Because just imagine what can happen if all of us respond to God in those kinds of ways. The local church is the hope of the world. Do you know that? It's God's plan A for impacting the world he loves. It's God's plan A for seeing people come to Christ, find community, discover their gifts and talents, and go and make a difference. It's God's plan A. The thing that gets me fired up every morning as I just dream about what it can be like for a local church to thrive. A place where people really are welcomed. A place where friendships really do form. A place where people's gifts and talents are given a chance to thrive and grow. Incredible things happen. Lost people get found. Hurting people get help. God's name and God's work gets advanced in the world. Villages get clean water. Kids go to camp. People who do you know, even in the past couple of weeks, you know, because of your generosity, we've helped families that were on the brink of homelessness not be homeless. Incredible things happen. Thousands of meals have been served to at-risk kids in the Wenatchee Valley because a thriving local church challenged people, and especially challenged a particular someone, to consider what God was calling them to do and how God was calling them to organize around mission and how God was calling them to step out and serve. So as the band comes up and we get ready to come around the table together, can we just bow our heads and just seek God for what he's calling you to do and the step he's calling you to take? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you call each and every one of us into this great, grand, life-changing, world-shaking mission. Lord, thank you that as we make disciples, as we help people to get to know you, and come to follow you with their lives, that everything changes, not only for them, but for the people around them. As people discover your grace and your love for us, they become more gracious and they become more loving. As people discover those friendships that we can have with one another, people experience support. People experience unity. People encounter what love looks like on a daily basis, what it looks like in their homes. And families get stronger, and marriages grow deeper, and parenting gets better. And Lord, as people discover their gifts and talents and apply them in service, the needs of the world get addressed. And people find hope. So, Lord, would you guide each and every one of us in what you would have us do? And Lord, would you guide us together that we might faithfully follow your purposes for us? Oh God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we prepare to come to the table together, this place of